To my DIY lovers, you crafty, creative, unique souls, today's episode is tailor-made for you. And to my DIY haters, which I used to be one of you, the simplicity, the affordability, the what I call mess-free-ity of these projects might just change your mind and bring you over to the dark DIY side that I now hang out in. You know, after doing this for several years, I notice in most of our plant parent journeys, there comes a moment where you realize, wow, okay, I have no more table countertop space. I have a lot of plants and I need to get organized and I want to refine this aesthetic. I want to go from cluttered to curated, but I don't have an eye for design to figure out how to kind of utilize my vertical space in order to execute that. I definitely remember this feeling when I was living with, you know, 100 houseplants in 500 square feet and I quickly ran out of counter space, the kitchen counter, the coffee table, all of the windowsills were crammed. And I started looking at my walls and I started kind of salivating because there was a lot of white space on those walls to play with. And once I installed my green wall, I never looked back with vertical space gardening. So, plant friend, if you are looking to elevate your plant collection, both literally and figuratively, figuring out how to get the best bang for your buck out of your vertical space is absolutely essential. And today's guest makes it crazy simple to implement these fun DIY designs and projects that will literally lift up your plants to the light and give you back that countertop space you so desperately need. So, with my whole heart, I welcome you back to Mangrove Radio. Hello, hello, plant friends. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. I'm recording this for you in my office. I am looking at my hummingbird feeder. I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, you'll know this, but I've turned into a crazy hummingbird lady. I did not expect this when we moved to the country, but I am fully deep into hummingbird best friendship. I feel like that's weird, but now I do say that when I live, you know, when people ask me what country living looks and feels like, I say, you know, the hummingbirds are my best friends. They're who I hang out with every day. Every evening, I go sit on my balcony and have dinner with my hummingbirds. And I also have a hummingbird feeder on my back porch. And they're just so joyful. They're just little bundles of joy. It's so fun. So if you don't have a hummingbird feeder, but you have hummingbirds in your area, I highly suggest getting one. And I guess hummingbird feeders are kind of aligned with today's episode because they're hung vertically. They're hung in the window. They're hung from trees. So I guess they utilize vertical space, just like the topic of this episode. You know, this episode I'm excited for today because it combines two major things that I really struggled with when I was starting out with caring for houseplants 6 years ago. And those two things are my fear, but curiosity around DIY, not being crafty, but wanting to be crafty. And then also my need for going vertical in order to continue growing my houseplant collection and make my home look beautiful, but not really knowing what to do. DIY really used to be what I say, like a four-letter word to me. I really never considered myself to be crafty, just like I never considered myself to be a plant person. But caring for those plants, it was interesting. It definitely brought up this newfound curiosity in learning how to get a little bit more crafty in order to take advantage of so many different beautiful plant installations and projects that I used to see all over social media. So all of a sudden, that curiosity led to a determination to figure out how to use these projects as a way to beautify my home. And oh my gosh, once you finish your first DIY project, oof, that empowerment, that pride, when I installed my first grow shelf. That was one of the first DIY projects I did. Oh my God, I was so proud of that grow shelf and my green wall. And I found a lot of inspiration for these DIY projects that I did on Instagram. And one of the homes that I used to drool over was today's guests, Erin's of Clever Bloom. She's also the co-founder of the Instagram account Houseplant Club, which has over a million followers. And she has the dreamiest home and aesthetic with the most gorgeous plants and the most gorgeous design elements that I've ever seen. And her co-founder of Houseplant Club, Morgan, of the very popular account Planting Pink. They both have just gorgeous home aesthetics and plant collections, and they're coming out with their second book, How to Plant a Room and Grow a Happy Home, which is all about fun, easy houseplant-inspired DIY projects and interior design tips. And Erin is actually teaching us three of them from her book, so we're getting some freebies today, which I'm so excited about. Before we dive in, I wanted to say thank you to our newest members of the Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and garden society, Timmy and Megan. Welcome, ladies. It's so fun to have you as part of this platform. For those of you that might be new here, my Bloom and Grow Garden Party is my private off Facebook platform and app for both iOS and Android, and it's our community hangout place on the internet. I like to call it the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. You download whatever app works for you. You can access it super easily. And in there, we have discussion topics ranging from houseplants to gardening to there's a whole DIY thread. There's a whole DIY conversation space. We have meetups. We have a plant swap space that you can swap plants with each other. It's a lovely, kind little corner of the internet that I'm very proud of. So if you are interested in joining, come on over. You just go to jointhegardenparty.com. And this is also a wonderful way to support the podcast if you are interested in supporting us on a monetary basis, because the, you know, proceeds of the platform go to creating educational content like today for you. So all the details for that are going to be in the show notes. Speaking of supporting the podcast, another fantastic way to do that is by supporting our sponsors, because their sponsorships are what enable me to pay for the editor who edits this podcast and my podcast manager and all sorts of things, all of the running costs that are required to keep Bloom and Grow running. So we have some new sponsors that we're debuting today on the podcast, and I couldn't be more excited to tell you about them. So who's feeling crafty? Let's dive right in to this episode with Erin from Clever Bloom. Plant friends, I am so excited to introduce you to one of our newest podcast sponsors, Lomi, your new favorite countertop composter. That's right. You heard me right. It is a composter that sits on your countertop. I don't think I have ever been this excited about a kitchen appliance in my life. If you are like me, where you're interested in reducing your garbage footprint and your food waste, the Lomi is the answer to your prayers. I truly can't encourage you enough to get one of these, plant friends. Billy and I are totally obsessed and blown away by this product. We've been using it for an entire month. So, okay, what is it? The Lomi is a sleek, small countertop composter that can reduce your garbage footprint by up to 50%. And it is so stupidly easy, plant friends. I can't handle how impressed I am with this product. You literally take your food scraps from the day, put them in your Lomi, press a button, and in a few hours, the Lomi turns your food scraps into dirt that you can put in your houseplants, in your garden, in your garbage bin, in your green bin, or in my case, we dump it in the forest on our property. I'll be honest, plant friends, I'd seen advertisements for this product and I had doubts about this machine because it seriously just seemed too good to be true. The first couple of times I ran it, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of waiting for it not to work. I was kind of waiting for it to smell or short circuit or not really be able to turn our food scraps into dirt, because that's insane to be able to take eggshells and turn it into dirt. But I gotta tell you, I've been using it for almost a month now. We've run it probably 10 to 15 times. And plant friends, this thing is better than you can imagine. Billy and I are literally giddy in the morning when we wake up because we run the Lomi overnight and we go downstairs to the kitchen to see the newfound soil that our food scraps used to be. It's really wild. If you're interested in reducing your garbage input, I can't recommend it enough. And did I mention that it ships in compostable packaging that you can literally put in your Lomi? So you can cut up the box your Lomi comes in and compost it and turn it into soil. It's wild. So join me on this composting journey and get one for yourself. Lomi rarely does offers like this because they frankly sell out all the time, but they have a special offer for Bloom and Grow radio listeners. You get 3 months of Lomi pods and filters for free. That's $50 value. When you go to Pela, PELA.earth/bloom, or you can click the link in the show notes to redeem your offer. So once again, to redeem your special offer only for Bloom and Grow radio listeners, that's 3 months of Lomi pods and filters, which you need for your Lomi. head to pela.earth/bloom or click the link in the show notes. You will not regret it. Erin, welcome back to Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's been forever, right?
It's been literally like actually forever. Cause I think, I mean, the last time you were on was that two-part episode in February of 2018 when your first book came out.
So what episode are you on right now?
In the 160s, I think.
Okay. So I was 16, I think.
Oh my gosh. You were 16 and yeah. Now you're like 160 something now.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That is crazy, but it doesn't feel like that. Cause you and I have, you know,
I know, but boy, it's been crazy, right? Couple crazy years.
And both of us are, you know, pandemic authors. We both survived writing a book.
Yes, we did. Yeah, it's very exciting and a lot of work, right?
A lot of work. So for those listening who might be newer Bloom and Grow listeners who might not know you and your amazing two brands that you run, do you want to just give a brief intro to who is Erin from Clever Bloom?
Yes, I will. So I'll start with that. So my name is Erin Harding, and I run a website where I focus on houseplant care, decor, inspiration, DIYs. That started back in 2014. So that was something that I decided to do out of a need for something else other than parenting two small children at the time. So my husband encouraged me to just start, you know, doing something that I loved and enjoyed besides my family. So I started Clever Bloom, the website back then. And then the Instagram account sort of developed from that. And that is where I met Morgan Doan, AKA Planting Pink. And I like to say we were like one of the OGs of.
Totally.
I think back then you could count them on your hand, like hands and toes, probably how many plant accounts were on Instagram back then.
It was probably you. Let's shout them out. It was you, Morgan of Planting Pink,
yeah,
of Homestead Brooklyn,
Daryl,
Hilton Carter.
Not yet.
Oh, Hilton Carter wasn't an OG.
No, because I like to think we had a little bit of, you know, play and in Hilton's fame because we shared him on Houseplant. So Houseplant Club is the account that Morgan and I started together because we had had a lot of people reach out to us saying, hey, will you share our picture on your account? Like it was a thing back then. That's what people would do. They would send you pictures to your personal account and say, hey, will you post this? Well, you know, of course you have your own aesthetic. You know, you want to kind of have that like a really cohesive brand look on your Instagram page. So we were always like, no. And then one day we were talking through DMs and I'm like, why don't we just start an account where we do share, you know, other people's. And so that's how Houseplant Club started. Well, we shared a Hilton Carter, you know, used the Houseplant Club hashtag. We shared him when he had 2,000 followers. So on like, and whoa. I specifically remember him reaching out and being like, thank you so much for sharing. I just got so many new followers. So that was back. So yeah. So he was starting back then, but I mean, I'm trying to remember just Daryl, Summer, Morgan. Oh, I'm sure there's a handful of others, but those are the ones that I.
The Sill was a major plant account.
Yes. Like for yes. Oh, and Pistols. Yeah. Pistols, also. But yeah, I mean, there was, and then there were some other ones that like aren't around anymore. You know, like there are some people who have moved away from that. But yeah, I mean, so that's kind of how Houseplant Club started. So together we started this account where we share other people's images when they're either submitted to us or, you know, using the hashtag. And then Morgan, unfortunately, couldn't be here with us today, but she also started her pottery adventure a handful of years ago. Actually, was it during the pandemic or right before that?
I think right before.
Right before, yeah. And so that has just, I mean, taken off like crazy pants. And she spends a lot of her time doing that now. So that is what keeps her busy. And yeah, that's kind of just like the update. And I still do my blog and still do, well, we haven't done any in-person things in a long time, but prior to the pandemic, I do a lot of workshops locally here in Portland, Oregon, team building, anything related to plants. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. You know, it's so fun to catch up with these OGs like you, because it's interesting. And this is just an emotional musing before we dive into the to the real stuff, but it's really cool to see the OGs and how they've evolved and how you all have let yourself evolve. Because I think, especially in the plant space, when you feel attached to the number of plants that you have in your house, you feel attached to your home, you feel attached to a certain type of plant that used to light you up, but maybe it doesn't anymore. Maybe you want to evolve. You know, I think about my, I have a Raphidophora decursiva that I got that had no fenestrations. And I've watched this thing like completely transform over the last 6 months. And I kind of see that paralleled in a lot of this growth, where Morgan has kind of moved. She's still doing plants, but she's moved to pottery, which is kind of plant adjacent. Mm-hmm. She built this unbelievable blog with the most gorgeous aesthetic. And you do your local events. You know, Summer has turned into quite the homesteader, you know. Summer's totally like moved out of the country. Like, she's let herself evolve. And I think that's a very powerful thing to watch, especially as you guys are the originals and who many of us look up to. So thanks. And thank you, Morgan.
Well, and it's fun too, because, you know, obviously being able to kind of like morph with what you're doing in real life is important. Like, I used to just like, I remember on my Instagram, I was like, I'm not going to post anything unless there's a houseplant. Like, that's it. Yep. And then as, you know, as the years go by, you realize, well, that's not really you 100%, you know? And so I actually, it's funny because I changed my bio to like houseplants, decor, and family. Because, you know, I mean, that is a big part of who I am, is my husband and my kids. And so I want them to be a part of that as well. So I feel like, you know, and that's it, if people don't want that, that's totally fine, but that's really who I am. And so I want to be able to include all of that into, you know, that account. So.
Yeah, I can totally relate with my like wellness journey and my spirituality side of the plants, where when I got approached to write Growing Joy, I almost was like, gosh, well, this isn't a part of myself. I share it, but I don't share it this explicitly. Like, am I really going to go here? But it was freeing. And I feel like when you're, for anyone listening, you know, if you're feeling that restriction, we have so many things that feel restricted in the world right now. So just give yourself permission to grow, you know?
Right. That creativity is, and all of that is something that should probably blossom into something else, you know? Exactly. So.
Exactly. So let's go back to your aesthetic, because so you've come out with a new book, your second book. It's the cutest accompaniment to the first one. They look like.
Yes.
Do you want to share your first book, which is a like bestseller in the plant space? And now was more of like a plant care book. And now this is really fun tutorials.
Yeah. So as I know this episode will come out in a little bit. So this might be the first time people are hearing about it, actually. So back in 2018, we had our first book come out that Morgan and I wrote, How to Raise a Plant and Make It Love You Back. I realize we're audio right now, but I also have a picture of it just in case. So our first book was so fun. It is a combination of kind of what to do when you bring plants home, how to care for specific plants, how to style them. It's kind of this journey through the beginning of, and Morgan and I have both had, I really don't want to age myself here, but longer than most of the people in the plant community have been alive, I have owned plants. And actually, I think I talk about, like, I think I might've mentioned this in the first podcast I did with you, but I mean, back when I had my first apartment, my roommate and I barely had money to eat even. And we would like sit there with all of our change and our dollar bills and count the amount of money we had and say, okay, we can buy this plant, and then we still have enough money for ramen, you know? So it was kind of like, that was like really important to us even back when I was like 17, 18. Anyway, so that's like the first book kind of takes you through that journey of picking out plants that work for your space, what to do when you bring them home, caring for them, and then designing them in your space. So our second book, How to Plant a Room and Grow a Happy Home, is kind of the next step. It's now that you know how to care for your plants, you are taking your plants and designing them in ways in your home that are a little bit different than just having them in a pot on a table. We try to walk through ways of elevating your space by, you know, using vertical ways of planting. And of course, we had so many ideas, but we really, what we wanted to do is we wanted to create projects that were, number one, affordable, because a lot of times when you see some of these big projects, it's like, well, I don't have $500 to drop on a plant project for my home, you know? So we really wanted this to be affordable, accessible to everyone, and easy to follow. So that's what we did. We tried to take some of our favorite projects and kind of put them into different ways of styling them around your home. So that's what this is. And then we do have a little bit of just decor and how to kind of combine plants on different pieces of furniture and things like that at the end of the book. So
it's so good. I'm going to honey roast you at the end of the episode. How much I love the book, but, and we're getting a sneak peek. We're going to walk us through three of the tutorials in the episode, but you know, something I think that is so intrinsic to Clever Bloom and also Morgan Planting Pink and Houseplant Club is your aesthetic and your specific aesthetic, your colors, your home. If people don't follow you already on Instagram, you should, because Erin really has a beautiful home. And if someone is going to come out with a book on DIY, it should be because you've done the coolest projects in your home. So for those of us who are looking for some design tips, how do you feel like you curated your aesthetic? And how do you feel like you've taken on managing all of these DIY projects?
Well, I like to kind of take it back to growing up. My dad was a collector of mostly sports memorabilia, but he also really loved antiques and things like that. So from a young age, we would go around when garage sale, I mean, people still have garage sales these days, right? But it used to be where you could only advertise them in the paper. There was no compute. We didn't have internet then. And so we would get the paper every Sunday or every Friday, circle all of the good garage sales. Then we would map out like our plan for the weekend, and we would go from garage sale to garage sale. And I would just watch my dad be able to really find cool pieces. He was finding pieces to display his collectibles, but just being able to kind of pull pieces together that maybe aren't even from the same era, but being able to put them together in a way that really looked cool and kind of represented what he loved as style. It feels really weird saying that I got my style from my dad, because that's just a weird thing for me to say, but that is really where it all kind of evolved. And so I kind of like to call my style sort of like modern eclectic, because I don't focus so much on having like one type of style, like, you know, modern or whatever it may be, but I focus a lot on the color. So like if colors look good together for me, even if the styles are a little bit different, I feel like it really works together. So yeah, so it's been fun for me. And I mean, my husband is like a saint, because he's like, is this a new blanket? Is this a new pillow? Is this a new chair? You know, it's like, I'm constantly finding things that I love and want to put it in my space. But I think, you know, when you find something you love, you just have to snag it. And then with all of my DIY projects, I mean, I have to really say, usually I have a vision for something and then I go to my husband and say, how do we do this? My husband designs high-rise buildings. And then previous to that, residential homes. So he really is the brains of the operation. So I kind of have the idea and the look, and I'll kind of like draw it on a piece of paper. And then he actually makes most of the things like reality. So,
wow, that's amazing. Okay. So you've got a husband in your back pocket that helps you with the, especially the aesthetic of your home. But the thing that I really feel like you nailed in your book is there are number one, so many projects, but you really go from a project that an ultimate beginner with a $5 budget could do to also a non-beginner, like a DIY maven, could do the cabinet, you know, install that you have, could do some of the more next kind of 2.0 thing. So I think you guys did a really good job picking a really wide variety of projects that are accessible and also like mess-free sometimes. Cause I feel like with a lot of these DIY projects for plants, especially having just gone through my wedding where we did some DIY stuff, like no one wants soil all over their floors. Like no one, sometimes with these DIY stuffs, it's like, I have a half an hour to replant this pot. I don't have the 2 hours to like set up the pot, you know, the repotting station and then break it down. And accessibility, I think, is important, and efficiency.
A couple of our projects, you do need some extra tools. You know, usually we tried to use things that we thought most people would have, but the majority of them, we're talking like very basic, you know, tools that I think just make it so much more fun. Cause really what it is it's like guidance and inspiration on these projects, but then you're kind of able to make it what you want it to be, you know, and they're all adjustable. So
let's talk about vertical space, because another thing I loved about your book when I was going through it, I couldn't believe how many of your projects utilize vertical space and get plants in the air or on the wall. And I think when designing your home, that vertical wall space can really go overlooked with plants, because we think plants have to sit on a table in a pot. And I remember when I was going through my first round of, okay, I've bought too many plants, all my, you know, countertops are covered, but I've got this big white wall, and I did my first green wall with Wally Grow. Like that was a huge kind of brain light bulb moment for me of, oh my gosh, I've got this vertical space. So why do you feel like vertical space is underused, but also like so great?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why it's underused. I just think a lot of people don't think about it, right? Well, number one for me from the very beginning is I never used or utilized vertical space until I had kids. So I think for people who have pets, children, that's a really safe bet for a lot of your plants for numerous reasons. One, you know, not all plants are pet safe. Number two, obviously you have paws and all sorts of stuff batting at plants when they're on the table or on the floor. And with me, like, you know, I always had plants. So my kids grew up around plants. So there was no needing to teach them like, oh, we don't touch plants. They were just always in their environment. Mm-hmm. So it was rare that something happened to a plant. Although I will say, I still find Lego guys, army guys, like in the pots because they actually like use it, which is so fun for me to see that. But you know, that's when I started like hanging plants was when the kids were born. So pets, kids. And then I think too, like space is a big thing. A lot of times when you're renting, you and I were just talking about our homes right now. Like we live in a small house. We don't have a lot of space. And so once you have filled up literally every single table, shelf, whatever it is in your home, the next step, because you have to keep filling your house full of plants, right? No, I'm just kidding. is to go vertical. So I think that's another thing. And then like, thirdly, I think it's just that sort of spatial sort of like design aspect of it, right? Like if you have everything kind of like at eye level, mm-hmm. that doesn't create that dimension that a lot of people kind of want in their home when they're styling. So I think when you do that, when you use your walls, when you use your ceilings, then that creates that. And I know a lot of people, you know, especially if you're renting or a lot of people kind of hesitate to put holes in walls or you know, put hooks in the ceiling. But, you know, these days there's so many different products that work really well for that are removable. So I think these days it is easier to sort of go vertical, kind of move up, you know?
Yeah. I think toxicity is a huge thing. Cause sometimes I've heard from so many listeners who like bring a plant home or have their beloved Monstera or their beloved, you know, snake plants and then get a puppy and then freak out because they realize, you know, all their plants are toxic. Yeah. But also just like utilizing sunlight, windows, you know, these plant hangers. I remember plant hangers, like that was the first way that I was able, you know, I had 4 southern facing windows and that was the way I could get more plants in my windowsills when the windowsills were already created. So I'm so excited to dive into 3 different, really easy, kind of mess-free vertical projects that you are going to outline for us. So let's start, since I just mentioned it, I loved your kind of macrame wall hanger, because I remember I made my first macrame hanger a couple of years ago and I did the old school knots that you used, like the friendship bracelet knots, and it took me 3 days. I think this thing took me literally 10 hours to make. And the one in your book looks so much simpler.
Yeah. So, well, and of course those are gorgeous, right? I mean, and actually it's so funny because, I found a book at the library that was like macrame from the 60s. So, you know, we're bringing those styles kind of back. And so that's fun. I remember my mother-in-law, the first time she saw a macrame plant hanger in my house, she's like, they still sell those? Like, oh no, we're making them.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people don't love that sort of like, I'm just going to say like hippie 70s style. Yeah. That it's so funny. Like, yeah. Like my mom is just like, And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to create a plant hanger option that we thought would work really well for a variety of different home styles. And so we did this modern sort of beaded. There's actually no knotting in it at all. Well, there's a knot. There are knots to finish it off, but there's no actual knotting. Mm-hmm. And so it's very few supplies. We used macrame cord. We used a handful of beads and we used some wooden rings and we just created this plant hanger. Depending on what color you use, you can also, like I said, everything's sort of adjustable. So we used raw wood, beads and rings, but you can also stain them or you can paint them or you can do whatever. You can use any color cord you want, any type of cord. You can use hemp or something if you still do want that sort of like boho style. So this, and you'll be able to see in the book all the instructions, but we basically took a wooden ring, took a couple pieces of cord, and did a knot on them. And then we just sort of strung the beads in this way where we used beads and then we used in between the wood rings. And honestly, like you can see there's like knots, but there's no actual knotting.
It's like normal knots, like the way you would double knot a shoelace.
Right. And so then we do some beading at the top and then at the bottom, we slide in a bead. That's where the plant sits. And then we do a knot. But then all you have to do is spread the cord, apart in order to sit the pot in there. And you can't see it. I have one in the corner and it's just really cool because it brings a little bit of style and a little bit of like almost like modern art kind of to the plant hanger, but it's super simple. This probably took me like maybe 10 minutes to make. So it's fun. And then you can always like, so I love this. This mustard kind of color is a color that I have a lot of in my home. So I really love this, but my guess is probably in about 6 months, I'll be sick of the mustard color and another color will be my favorite color. So then you can just even unknot it, use the beads for another color if you want. I mean, it's like so versatile. So this is one of the projects that we did. And this one was fun for me because I felt like, of course, my kids wanted to join in on the fun and it was so easy that they could do it. So yeah, so we have, gosh, I have like three of them up in my house right now. And it's just a little different from plant hangers you can buy.
Thank you so much to Soltech Solutions, one of our OG and favorite sponsors of Bloom and Grow Radio. You likely know them because they make the incredibly stylish grow lights that you've probably seen all over my Instagram and socials. I have probably five of their grow lights in my house at this point. Shorter days, less sun, and colder temperatures are just around the corner. So if you want to keep your plants alive without messing with your home style this season, you should do it with Soltech Solutions. They've totally got you covered with their full spectrum plant lights that look like normal lights with a gorgeous white glow. When I tell you that I had six grow lights of theirs in my house and no one who came to visit my home knew they were grow lights, I really mean it. The Soltech difference is in the warm color temperature of their lights. So they really just look like stylish lights that would be hanging in your home, but secretly they're doing all the work to keep your plants thriving by mimicking the sun with their full spectrum photosynthetic goodness. And I love that they come with timers so that you can figure out how long the light needs to run for your plants and then just have it turn on and off automatically. I have their Vita grow bulb on my office desk and I actually have it timed to turn off at 6 p.m. So when the light turns off, I know that it's time to stop my work, my work day. And I also love that they've really thought about their customer and developed different lights with different functions. So whether you're looking for a pendant light, track lighting for a green wall or hard to reach places, or just a simple bulb to screw into an existing light feature, Soltech has you covered. Plus, they have amazing customer service, free shipping, and a 5-year warranty. Keep the sun shining and your plants thriving with Soltech Solutions. Check them out at soltechsolutions.com and get 15% off with code BLOOM15. Once again, for 15% off for Bloom and Grow Radio listeners, that's code BLOOM15 at soltechsolutions.com. If you have been looking for a humidifier, look no further than AirCare's line of 27 different stylish and smart humidifiers to humidify your home and life. It's no surprise that humidity is top of mind for many of us plant parents because maintaining optimal humidity for our environments, for our plants, is crucial for their health. But plant friends, it's also crucial for our health. But let's be real, a lot of humidifiers are not cute and simply can ruin the vibe of our gorgeously curated indoor jungles. Plant friends, no fear. Enter AirCare, an Arkansas-based company that has been obsessed with creating the best stylish and functional humidifiers for over 70 years. Plus, their units cover small areas to whole houses, so they have your back, whether you've got a tiny New York City apartment like I used to have or a sprawling 4-bedroom home like I currently have. I actually needed a humidifier, not for my plants, but for me, because the air conditioning this summer really was drying me out. That's when I found AirCare, and I'm currently using two of their different models in my home in two different ways. So in my bedroom, I have their sleek back AirCare Nova model. It's got so many cool features like this big digital screen that shows you the humidity and the time. It's also my nightlight. It's got multicolor LED lights that you can choose from. But by far, my favorite unit of all of them is the AirCare Mesa model. I have it in my office, and plant friends, it's so sleek and stylish. It looks like it's made of wood, but it's a humidifier, so it helps blend into the aesthetic I've kind of created. It has warm and cool mist settings, and I'm able to diffuse essential oils in it, actually in both units. I've got lavender running in my bedroom and I've got hinoki oil running in my office. Plus, both units have nozzles that you can direct the airflow so you can avoid, you know, blowing the air onto something that you don't want. And Plant Friends, AirCare is offering an insane discount to Bloom and Grow listeners exclusively. To keep you and your plants happy and hydrated, visit aircareproducts.com and use code BLOOM20 at checkout for 20% off site-wide. Plant Friends, that's 20% off of these humidifiers with code BLOOM20 at aircareproducts.com. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today.
Yeah, it's like a fresh modern take. And I love that it's literally probably $5 of supplies. And I love that it takes so short because mine took so long. And it's kind of a nod to the past. It's a nod to the old school macrame, but it's modern. You could do brass fixtures, like you could do brass or gold beads and make it kind of more glam. You could do all sorts of stuff to kind of whatever your home decor is like. But it's truly as simple as putting some cord at the top of your first wooden circle. And we will have some photos in the show notes so people can visually just, the minute you look at the photo in the show notes,
you'll know
exactly what we're talking about. It could be as simple as a ring on the top, cords knotted to it, a bead on the bottom, and then sitting the pot. But the fact that you get the opportunity to kind of express yourself a little bit for people who love jewelry making, I feel like I've seen jewelry making back in. I feel like I'm seeing it on TikTok more. So it's kind of a fun, modern kind of riff on that kind of old school macrame hanger that sometimes doesn't necessarily fit into our space.
Like I said, a friend of mine who has a very, very much like a farmhouse look, I made her one. I just used sort of like the bluish gray color, and I used the, I stained the wood rings with a little bit of a darker finish, and it just looks really cool and it fits in her house perfectly. But you know, I mean, you can put them in pretty much any style home.
Talk about a Christmas gift. What a brilliant Christmas.
Yeah.
You could tailor them for, or a holiday gift. You could tailor them for whoever you're making them. And it's like such a beautiful, expensive looking gift, but it probably costs you like $7.
Yeah. And you know, we also, in the book, you'll see, we made one that we just stuck an air plant in too. So if you wanted something, if you didn't want to mess with the dirt, like a potted plant or anything, you could also do like a really cool xerographica or something like that in that hanger. And then you don't have to worry about dirt getting everywhere. You can ship it easier. So yeah.
So speaking of air plants, I want to go to our next project, because when I saw this photo in your book, my heart skipped a beat, because I feel like I cannot wait. So we're moving one more time, but I cannot wait to make this for my husband, because this is an air plant driftwood piece. And my husband he was born on Cape Cod. He has salt water in his veins. He's such a fish. It's crazy. And so for his next office, I think this would be the coolest thing to put in an office, because it's this driftwood. I want to find a piece of driftwood from Cape Cod and put these lower maintenance, you know, air plants that I think I could trust him caring for at his office. And I just think it's the perfect Billy gift, but also I think a really beautiful statement piece. I mean, the way you guys designed it. So you want to describe it a little bit and kind of walk us through how you work?
Yeah. Actually, I wish I had one of them here. I gave them away as gifts after I was done with them, because I had made so many for the book. But exactly what you said, I mean, what makes this project cool is that as a family, we go to the river a lot, or we go camping, or, you know, fishing. And so the kids are always picking up really cool pieces of, like, they're always finding sticks. That's a big thing. I don't know if it's boys or just kids in general, but like always finding sticks. And so finding a piece of driftwood. And one of the things about this project for me, and also with the mounted plant project, is that a lot of what we do in our home, we just redid our front yard with like a dry creek bed. A lot of the design, we live in the Pacific Northwest. So I really love, I mean, we have moss on everything here, like moss grows everywhere. And it's just like wild. And, you know, when you go camping, you can see these gorgeous pieces of wood or whatever it may be, rock even, with moss and different plants growing on them. So I just like this project because it kind of allows us to mimic what we see in the outdoors here in the Pacific Northwest and other areas also, and bring something. Obviously, we don't have air plants here in the Northwest, but kind of use those to mimic like other plants that may grow. So for that project, I actually couldn't find a piece of driftwood before I talked to you, but I have this piece of bark, because you can use anything. And what's great about these too is when you find a really unique piece, it allows you to kind of place plants in a way that looks natural, like how they maybe would naturally grow. So this is a pretty simple project. You need some air plants. You need some moss. I actually use, here we have preserved river moss, which is responsibly harvested here in the Pacific Northwest. You can use sphagnum moss if you want. There's other things you can use. But really, it's just kind of wrapping the moss around the base of the air plant, because that's what's going to kind of hold any moisture. You still have to, you know, water these guys. So you kind of just, we wrap the base of an air plant with moss, use some like fishing line to connect the two. And then we just find cool, like this has a little, I'm using this piece of wood here. There's a little sort of,
yeah, like a
crant in. Yeah. And so it's just like kind of makes a perfect little home for that air plant. And so really what you're doing is you're taking a piece of driftwood or bark or something. You're wrapping the roots of the air plant in moss, and then you're tying it to the piece of wood. And you can also use, there are some glues, we talk about it in the book, that you can use as well that don't harm the plants. But what you're doing is you're just kind of creating a look that feels natural and right in the piece of wood. And so this is really fun. Like every piece turns out different. Like there's not one that turns out exactly the same, because every piece of wood is different. What I love about this project too is you can either hang it on your wall, or you can hang it from the ceiling and create it so the plants are you know, not just on one side of the wood, but they're just kind of all around. It's almost like a mobile or something. So,
oh my God, imagine that being your kid's mobile.
I know.
I think that could be such a cool fixture for a corner too. Like if you made three that are varied sizes and then hang them mm-hmm. at different lengths, like that would be such a cool kind of corner installation. And, you know, my book, Growing Joy, talks all about how we could make restorative plant nooks in our home to do some of the Growing Joy practices that we talk about. And I could totally see like having these beautiful pieces of natural driftwood and air plants. It's such a beautiful way to bring. And if you go on a trip, like what a sweet idea to go to the river with your kids, bring something back from that trip and then have that. It's almost like, remember our parents, I don't know if your parents were into this, but wherever we went, we got Christmas tree ornaments. Like wherever we went, we had to get Christmas tree ornaments, and our Christmas tree is always with these, you know, ornaments, you know, as a memory for.
Oh, my mom was a collector of ornaments. Yes. Yes, for sure.
And so it's kind of that same vein. It's like you get to bring home that souvenir that you could potentially be looking at 30, you know, you don't have to wait for the holidays. You can just look at it. And I think it could be a really beautiful statement too, like above a bed, like a big piece of driftwood.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you can make these massive. The biggest thing to think about is wherever you put them, like, you know, make sure they're put up in a way that can either be easily removed to water them, or they're in a space where you can spray them really well. Ideally, you would want to be able to take the piece of wood off of your wall or whatever and dunk it and soak the plants for a little bit. I mean, ideally, that's how you would want to water them. But a lot of air plants can do really well if you give it a good spray. And so, yeah, so just making sure that you're putting it up in a way that you can take it down in order to kind of care for those plants. But
now I'm second guessing my bed frame driftwood installation idea, because that would be probably a nightmare to either try and or take off.
But what you could do is, so you know how you wrap the moss around each mm-hmm. piece. So what, and I've done this before, so this is why I'm telling you it can be done. I got little tiny mini hook like clips. And so when you have the moss around here, you can actually clip it just to the moss that you're gluing. So you glue moss on the wood, and then you have the moss around the plant, and you can clip it so you can actually take them off and water them and put it back on.
Oh, I love that. So, but it's really such a simple idea. You're wrapping the plant in moss, and then you're affixing that moss to the driftwood. And that's so clever, putting some moss on the driftwood and then clipping it. So this is a perfect, I realize maybe we should have done our next project before this, because it's very similar. The other thing that I saw in your book that I'm very curious about, I've never personally experimented with, but I see it more and more in these plant shops and on Instagram, is Kokedama. What's Kokedama's deal? Why does everyone love it so much?
Well, they really just are very beautiful, right? And it allows you to, I think it's a more natural way of just sort of like you said, the driftwood project. You know, of course, like a potted plant is nice. We all have them. We all love them. But the Kokedama is a nice way to display plants as more of an art piece, I think. And it's more organic it's more of an organic style because you don't have the pot, right? So they actually, I'm sure, as we all know, this style originated in Japan, and it's basically a dirt ball around the root system of a plant. And then around that, in order to keep it in form, there is moss that is tied around that. And then you can secure it with either, some people use like a hemp or a rope. I like the clean look. So we use fishing line so you can't see it. But then you're able to just sort of either create it in a way where it can sit really beautifully, like on a plate or something like that, or you can hang them. You can get really creative with Kokedama. In fact, I just acquired a couple of different Hoya that I'm going to try to create like a full ball of Kokedama. So like not just one plant coming out of it, but kind of multiple plants coming out of different areas. So in the book, we go step by step through how to make them. And I think we have some really cool, we have ones with Monstera to show you.
Yeah. Can you do them with any type of plant?
So we tend to suggest doing them with plants that are more like epiphytic plants, because so epiphytic plants are like either air plants or plants that grow on other trees or plants in their natural environment. A lot of those are like the climbing plants that we see. So monsteras can work really well. Some begonias can work really well. Ripsalis, Hoya, any kind of like jungle cactus, orchids. Yeah. So in this one, I believe, yeah, it's in the beginning. So we have like Tradescantia, we have Monsteras. So I'm actually doing I'm using a begonia in the step-by-step process. And then you can do ferns and all sorts of, I actually have a peperomia. Actually, I have one here, plant as well. We use that in a Kokedama. So what's really cool about these is, and in the book we show sort of like three hanging, you had kind of talked about that with the driftwood. That's a really cool option. You can also have them just sit on your desk in a little tray. And basically what you're going to do is create this mixture that we talk about in the book. It's a combination of different mediums. So you mix those together. You create sort of this muddy ball that my kids would love to play with. You break it open and then you create this circle around the root system, and then you pack it with moss around the side, and you tie it up, and then you can kind of shape it. Once the moss is on it, you can kind of shape it, and you want to get really tight with that string. It's not going to hurt anything, but you really want to keep that shape, you know, so it's not like falling apart everywhere. And then I suggest, so the types of plants that we're using, they typically don't need to be watered as often as other plants. So that's why they work really well. And to care for them, you just soak them in water for a period of time. I like to say, soak them until the bubbles, all the bubbles that are coming to the surface, stop coming to the surface. And then when you pull them out of the water, just sort of squeeze them until most of the excess water comes out. And then I usually let them dry out for maybe a day or so, and then I can hang them back up or put them back in their display. But they're just really gorgeous and beautiful. And in fact, I think similarly to like the art of bonsai, it's kind of a similar, you know, thing, because you can really keep it how, so you can let it grow like crazy if you want, but you can really keep it kind of styled too by sort of snipping at it and making it the shape you want. So
yeah, I think they're so beautiful hung from, you know, windowsills, hung from windows or, you know, in corners again, because they are these like, they're like little orbs, you know, these little orbs of moss. But it was helpful to know that on the inside, there is soil, there is nutrient rich material on the inside of that ball that you're putting on the roots so that the plant continues to get fed. But I think definitely the rule of thumb with all of these DIY projects is picking lower maintenance plants, because the act of having to water them and care for them does tend to get, you know, it does involve a, you got to set aside a good 20 to 30 minutes to make it happen.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny because, on my trip to Costa Rica a handful of years ago, we were walking around their national forest there, and it was really cool because we didn't talk about this, but the mounting project we have in the book too, I really was super inspired by walking through the forest. And what you would see is, so orchids and different types of plants would attach themselves to the bark of tree, right? Mm-hmm. They're, moss and other things would kind of grow around it, but their roots would kind of start to take over the bark on the tree. And then what would happen is as the plant would kind of suck the nutrients and whatever it could get out of the bark, it would become really heavy as the plant grew and it would just fall off of the tree. Mm. So there were these literally natural tiny little mounts along the floor of the rainforest. And it was so cool because you could pick it up and it would be like an orchid blooming with like roots all around this piece of bark. And that's where a lot of the inspiration kind of comes from when we're creating these things, is just how they look and how they act in their natural environment. So, you know, of course, we don't have the same, I mean, we can't care, we have to care for them differently when they're in our homes, but it's just, you know, bringing that natural beauty that occurs outside, you know, inside our homes.
Oh my gosh. Totally. 100%. I remember we went to Costa Rica for our honeymoon last year. And I just remember being like, everything I know about houseplants is fake, like not fake, but you just see them in the climates that they're supposed to be in, like thriving so effortlessly. And then you think about, you know, the plants in your home, like limping along. But that also reminds me of, you know, whenever I go visit my parents in Florida, and Morgan of Planting Pink would know this, the air plants in Florida, in the trees, in the bushes, like air plants are freaking everywhere, attached to everything, attached to telephone lines, attached to everything. So it makes sense that we're replicating that, right?
Well, and it's funny too, that you say that, because the first time I visited Morgan and we went on a walk, first of all, I was like, why are we walking in this heat? Like, yeah. That is not something I'm used to here in Portland. But we went on a walk and I was like, there's just like the Spanish moss, you know, that's hanging from the trees.
All the trees. Yeah.
All of the trees. And I was like, $40.
Yep.
$20, $30. Because that's how, you know, when you live in an area that doesn't have things like that naturally, I mean, that's how much you pay for things, right? I mean, that's how much a bunch of Spanish moss is here, is like $40, you know?
100%.
So it was interesting because that's like nothing to them. And especially like, I mean, they have Monstera growing in their front yard, right? So that's totally different and a totally different thing from being here in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, there's no way you would plant a Monstera outside in your front yard, you know? I mean, we can get away with some begonias and stuff here, but that's pretty much it. So it is interesting because I think you kind of tend to gravitate. Well, you gravitate towards what you see in your environment, but what you can't have is what's really, you know,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for the tutorial of these three. I hope it gets people inspired. Also, riff on it, right? Tag me and Erin if you guys end up getting inspired by this conversation and creating something of your own. But, you know, Erin, since you're a DIY 2.0-er, I want to ask you in the book, what's your favorite project? And what might we tease listeners who might want to take that, you know, 2.0? Like, I was floored by your riff on the IKEA grow cabinet in your book that is very beautiful and accessible. What are you loving? What are your most favorite projects?
So that one is very cool. Morgan and her husband, Brian, did that one. And I just have to say, like, I'm so glad they did it because I don't know that I would have been able to actually do that. But that one turned out really cool. That is super fun. And she posts pictures of it on her Instagram account. And it's just all of her plants inside that are really awesome. But my favorite has to be the framed project that we did. So I had this idea of wanting to do a framed plant project, but not the kind where you're actually planting the plants inside of a frame of dirt, right? Because that is very messy, like you said. Like, that's messy. But also, to be honest with you, I did try it and it is heavy as heck. Like, I think the one I ended up doing was probably like 40, 50 pounds. Cause once you get all the soil in there and all the plants, I mean, it's just too much. So as I mentioned, I always get ideas. And then my husband's the one that actually designs them. So we created this really cool framed box. And what it does is it allows little notches that are taken out of the wood that perfectly fit a 4-inch nursery pot or terracotta pot. And they basically just sit kind of at an angle. There's six of them.
Yeah, it's clever. I haven't seen anything like it the way that you did it.
Yeah. So we kind of went through a couple different design options, and this is the one that we liked and the one that we thought would be the easiest for people. So the step-by-step instructions are in the book. You can also see it. I've posted it on my Instagram account a bunch. But what I love about it is that you can just take the plants right out, water them, and put them right back in. And they kind of sit at an angle so that obviously this potting stuff doesn't fall out of the nursery pot. But I mean, it's just so fun. You can do a variety of plants, but then also you're not stuck with this planted frame where, like, if one or two plants die,
yep,
you're like, oh, well, the whole thing looks lame now. So I like this because if you do unfortunately lose one, you can just replace it with another one, and it's so easy. So that's my favorite one.
Yeah, I thought that frame was really unique and a really cool take on something that we've seen a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I think I would have to double check, but I think it was like around a $12 project. Yeah. So yeah.
But if you are like next level where you want to cut the timber, like you want to like really get in there, like you're literally building a frame. So they're really, you can go from making a Kokodama very simple to constructing a frame. So where can people find you? Where can people find Houseplant Club? Where can people get the book? It's all going to be linked in the show notes as well.
Okay, cool. So Houseplant Club at Houseplant Club on Instagram, and then at Clever Bloom. And then you can find Morgan at Planting Pink. And then we're both on Houseplant Club. And then plantingpink.com is where you can buy Morgan's pottery.
Yes.
And through her Etsy shop. And then cleverbloom.com is where you can find me, all my other projects and things like that on my website. And then our books are available wherever books are sold.
Absolutely. And I love them. We'll make sure to include the links. And it's so good. It only took us, you know, 140 episodes, but it's so nice to have you back on the show.
I know. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be back.
Thank you so much, Erin. You know, she was one of my first plant friends. She was a major supporter of Bloom and Grow when we launched. Her and Morgan from Planting Pink are lovely, lovely humans. I know their first book was super successful. I'm so excited for their second book. It's really beautiful. It's a beautiful coffee table book called How to Plant a Room and Grow a Happy Home. So make sure you check her out and follow her at Clever Bloom, because she really does have a drool-worthy house. I am still jealous to this day of her gorgeous house. Thanks again to our Garden Party members. I will see you in the Garden Party on the app. And thank you to our episode sponsors, Lomi, my new favorite composter, my favorite toy, Soltech Solutions, and Air Care. Once again, supporting those sponsors is a fantastic way to support the show. And if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, you're probably experiencing that fall autumnal equinox. The chill is in the air. It starts to get cold. For me, it's my favorite season. It's also our wedding anniversary, our 1-year wedding anniversary. And I hope you all just take some beautiful time to connect with plants and nature and connect with yourselves. I've got all sorts of practices that help you do just that in my book, Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness in Plants. If you haven't snagged a copy of it already, you should. And until next time, my sweet plant friends, keep blooming and keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show on your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, if you wouldn't mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review, that would be tremendous. Reviews are so helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thank you so much in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Bloom and Grow content, we have so many fun options for you that I want to tell you about. First off, there is the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, and it only takes 3 minutes to complete. You take the test and you get your plant parent personality profile, and with that, you get a list of your strengths and weaknesses as a plant parent, and most importantly, my curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are perfectly suited for you and your planty interests based on your results. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality and can always be found in the show notes of this episode.
Okay, plant friends, here's the really good stuff. If you are looking to really grow and up-level your plant parent skills this year, I cordially and proudly invite you to join the Bloom and Grow Virtual Garden Society, rooted in high-quality education and plant community. Plant friends, this is not your grandma's garden society. It's virtual and therefore connects you with plant friends around the world, accessed via our proprietary Garden Party platform and app, and has the best educational and community-based content and resources available to anyone. When you join, you get immediate access to the entire Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and app, which is our exclusive space, off social media, algorithm-free, troll-free, with tons of amazing ways to meet other plant parents like you, like regional groups, daily conversation prompts, and even a plant swap space, which is pretty cool. And in addition to that, you get all of the exclusive premium society content, which is 3 monthly live calls with myself and our horticulturist in residence and beloved Bloom and Grow radio guest, Leslie Halleck. All in the interest of helping you grow. Leslie hosts monthly Node of Knowledge plant science lectures and monthly office hours, which we call AHAs or Ask Our Horticulturist Anythings, where you can troubleshoot your personal plant collection problems with her. Think about that. You have access to a horticulturist to troubleshoot your personal plant care issues. So amazing. And then I host monthly Growing Joy calls for community development and to explore the plant care, self-care aspect of plant parenthood. Plus, when you join, you not only get access to the upcoming live calls, but you get full access to all of the replays of previous calls and lectures, like The Science of Plant Dormancy or Grow Lights 101 and beyond. So you can binge your way to your best year yet of plant parenthood. Please come join us. We're having so much fun. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting jointhegardensociety.com. For anything else, plant friend, I'm here for you. Feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, follow me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and behind-the-scenes podcast content. Thank you again for listening to Bloom and Grow Radio. It is my true honor and delight to always help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.